The following podcast contains scenes of graphic violence, abuse, murder, and my happy existence. So the viewer's discretion is advised. And it smells so freaking good today. I'm like, oh my god. Hello everyone, this episode has taken me 3 days to make because on the first day something happened. Yesterday there were some idiots who were partying continuously, and oh my god, this episode is like a feat to cover. This is my Moses on a boat or something. If reference does not make any sense, it's perfectly fine. I have no idea what I'm saying, like usual. And so anyway, which episode is this? This is the 9th episode, I think. I've done so many episodes by this time, I've forgotten the number of it. So don't like come. I guess it's the 9th or the 8th one. Just figure that shit out. And so basically in this one, there's a lot of rant planned. So the story today. Oh, wait. I've forgotten to introduce myself because I'm so freaking popular. My half celestial existence is something that only the people who are living under a rock or from the stone age do not know of. I'm so freaking popular, people. You should know me. I am Koi, the 11th souled human who is also your host and has a bad throat since like last 3 weeks for no good reason. Maybe because I wear shorts and it's winters. But that's unrelated, is it not? Anyway. So I'm omnipresent, as many of you or almost every one of you would know by now. So in this episode, we have our usual segments, the fishy news, the out of the blue, the story, and its real life inspiration. For today, the real life inspiration is Robert Aircoats Willy Picton. He was a pig farmer in Canada, a very nice guy. You'll totally love him. His totes are dobs. And he was also a serial killer, but like everybody has some issues now. It's that vein. And it is also, according to me, one of the biggest police blunders I've ever read about. So there's that for the main story. Now, talking about blunders, let's get into the first segment of the podcast. That is the fishy news. Where was I? Where's the art? So this was a 26-year-old couple who was trying to maintain the heat in their relationship by having the coldest sex ever in like all life. It says in the article, and I quote, "Unsurprisingly, the officers who discovered them at it were not impressed and sent them home." Like, imagining each time that you're having sex, you are a normal person, you're having sex on a cold, pleasant night, and an officer pops out on your car windows, asks you to roll it down, and he's like, 4 out of 10. Now come next year to Britain's Got Talent. So yeah, I mean, the man shaved for nothing. Like, he wasn't even able to have like his proper sex, and that's sad. He should at least have been able to freeze his cum or something, I do not know. It further quotes that the pair was caught having sex in a car at Dartmoor at 2 a.m. on the coldest night for 26 years. So if we read this line out of context, it can actually have multiple meanings, you know, like one, that they were having sex continuously for 26 years, and the second, that they were caught every day for 26 years having sex at the same time, at the same point, at the same time. And why is the car roaring? The car wants to have hot sex in the cold night, no? So, and like, it says the coldest night for 26 years. So the night also spanned 26 years. Like, this article is so wrongly written. But like with every news, there's obviously a serious side to it. So on that note, I mean, it can't be addressed as a serious news. I mean, okay, they want to get knocked up. They want heat in the relationship. I don't need to explain. This is my podcast and I'm God. Yeah, sorry. Let's just move on to the next news. Dogs. Let's the dog. Ooh. Ooh, oh my God, this is gonna make so much sense. Did you hear those dogs barking? If you did, you like they bark every episode. They're like the second hosts to the episode to an extent, to the podcast. Anyway, so the next one is escaped cow charges into hospital waiting room and attacks patient. I mean, just imagine you are in a hospital because you got injured and you are having some regrets that you shouldn't have either crossed that red light or been a bitch to Stacy in school because this is karma biting you back. And then you see a beautiful, beautiful cow, like golden locks running towards you. And you're thinking, it's a bad dream. But no, the cow comes to you and hits you. Oh, and hits you again and again. It's like, moo. Okay, since like, let's just imagine more into this imagination that the cow asks you out and you're like, mwah, mwah. Oh, no, this would not be fun to watch. Okay, like this was a lot of bad quality cow puns. And look, who lets the cows out? Moo, 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 moo. That would have been a better song, you know. That would have been such a better song. Today, I think I'm high on something and I have no idea what. But like the thing you can like learn from this news, I think, is that you need to stay home. You need to stay safe. Make sure that the colleges do not open up and students like me can give like online exams forever, because that's what we need, because that's how the world functions. Because if you get corona or anything and you go to the hospital, a random cow might as well come and hit you or hit on you because you're sad and lonely. I mean, it's 2021, guys. Anything can happen. Huh. Today's fishy news, both of them are from Metro. And sorry, Metro, but they had really nothing valuable for anybody, much like schooling. I mean, I just hope that you think, I know, the Out of the Blue is gonna be so freaking amazing for you guys. But first, in Out of the Blue, let me tell you how shitty my last 3 weeks have been. I was sad for no good reason. Like, that's a perpetual teenage thing. I have no idea what was wrong with me. I was like, oh my God, I love it. Yeah, that was my entire existence. And then I had like a sore throat, so I was not able to speak a lot. I still have a sore throat, but who cares about that? You are not here to listen to my voice because it's a podcast and you obviously are not listening to my voice. And yeah, ooh, and the major problem with these last shitty weeks was that usually, like, trying to justify the name of the podcast in the memory of the goldfish, I write my stories like 2 weeks back such that I forget them by the end of it. And I was not able to do it and still, like, I have to write the story for the next week, so I would most probably end up remembering it, but you guys would not know because I'm such a good host. So that's kind of sad that I need to pace myself better. That is something that I recognize, understand I need to do, but when I'm gonna do it, I have no idea. And yes, exams. I've been having exams, people. Those drain the life out of me. They're gonna last another week now, and I'm like, oh my God, I do not want this. And since last 2 days, I've been feeling on top of the world. I'm not even kidding. And that's because I did this like group meditation thing. I told a friend of mine that I did a group thing on Zoom, and she was like, did you do an orgy? And I was like, no, I did not participate in an orgy. It was like a group meditation thing. And she was like, it's worse. I'm like, oh my God, no. Yeah. So anyway, so in the said meditation, it was by this woman. Okay, no, this is like good thing. So I'm like, this is the good stuff. I'm going to get to it in a bit. So I was watching this Korean drama. It's called True Beauty. It has a lot of issues. It is very misogynistic and like beauty oriented and shit. I mean, it might be improved. I have no idea. I've not seen the entirety of it. So there was a little phrase in the subtitles, which was like, dash dash a peg. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Let me go at like a quick Google. So I remembered reading P-A-C-I-N-G, pacing a peg. And I Googled it, and pacing is an abbreviation or an industry term for pounding against concrete, which is a method of killing piglets, whereby the piglet is picked by its hind legs and slammed against the floor, which causes massive head trauma, resulting in death, though not always instantaneous. Instantaneous, in parentheses. Yeah, and today's and consequently, conditionally, coincidentally is the word that I wanted to use. Today's story and everything also relates to a pig farm, and it makes me hate the main guy even more. Yeah, so the next topic in Out of the Blue, which I'm actually very, psyched to talk about, is the meditation that I went through, which was, I was skeptical about it, very, very skeptical about it initially, because I was like, all right, women from Los Angeles really do not know anything, but it was very fun. So there they introduced me to this concept of starseed. So basically me as a person, I really do not like the term aliens, but a starseed is basically an advanced spiritual being originating from another planet and realms and possessive. Oh my god, my stomach hurts. Like starseeds are beings which originate from other planets, realms, and possess spiritual and scientific knowledge dating back hundreds and thousands of years. For the most part, it's considered that the starseeds, they travel, they are souls which travel from planet to planet. And in our case, they get reincarnated or incarnated on Earth to inspire and heal the humans, to bring light and knowledge, to uplift the human race. I do sound very sarcastic. I actually loved the concept when everything started. Then I read more about it and I was like, no, like this is kind of bullshit. But like, it is nice, but it is also a lot of bullshit at the same time. Like, I'll tell you how. So their job is to bring light and knowledge that will uplift the human race, and they're here to participate in the awakening of others' consciousness to help in the planet's evolution. Oh my god, my stomach hurts for no good reason. Wait. Oh god. I mean, I know why my stomach hurts more or less, because I had like my breakfast at 1 a.m., which was like 10 minutes ago. And yeah, so I just had my breakfast and I drank a lot of water and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so full. So yeah. So starseeds, amazing people. Anybody can be a starseed. You can be the next Britain starseed if you want to be. Ways to know that you are a starseed is that people will usually call you an old soul. You've got a problem with bosses and authorities and like all representations of authority, I think, such as fathers. Daddy issues. I know you got them too. Repeating numbers, like those synchronicity happening, and looking at the stars, feeling like home is somewhere else. Like home is where the heart is. I've been singing songs to myself all this time. Yeah. So basically anybody who's kind of an introvert or somebody who has a soul at all can basically be a starseed. Damn, this is like a lot of fun. And there are multiple species of starseeds, and like, I'm going to read out a list, and if any one of them resonate with you, there's a chance that you are related with them. There are Sirians, Palladians, Arcturians, Andromedians, Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow, Lightworker, Orion, Feline, Maldic, Lumerian, and Lumerian Atlantean, and the worst, the villainous kind, the Reptilians. Now, the literatures and theories, to be very honest, for each of these, like, raise too many questions, such as, like, it's just weird, to be very honest. And they say that Brad Steiger, he coined the term starseed in his book published in 1976. It's called Gods of Aquarius, and links the belief to Native Americans and, like, that in a creation, there were visitors from other planets and such. So yeah, and it's very fun in the sense that they say that all evil politicians, basically every politician, is a reptilian and they want to destroy Earth. And Jesus and Mary were Syrians, and I'm like, no, they were Israelites. But okay, I mean, Yeah, so that's basically about Starseed. It's a weird concept. It has a lot of issues, and I'm like, okay, this is too ideal, and this does not make sense at all. But it is also very fun. Like, it. What is this voice? Can you hear this? Oh, it's the. So recently, they've deployed these like honking machines which clean the roads like 1:30, 2 a.m. in the morning, because and make a lot of noise because people need to be awake all the time. Like the government's doing something for a one fucking change. Yeah. Anyway, on to the story. If you want me to tell you more about the Starseeds, then I have really no idea what I'm gonna tell you more about them. You may tell me, and I have no idea how are you gonna tell. Oh, you can mail me, of course. So I'm going to jump to the story, and the story is called 1 Piggy, 2 Piggy, 3 Piggy, 4 Piggy. No, it's not called 1 Piggy, 2 Piggy, 3 Piggy, 4 Piggy. It's just 1 Piggy, 2 Piggy. Oh my God, I need to shut up. So the date for this that I've given is 23rd June 1998, which is about, I guess, 4 years before I was born. And the time that I've given is 12:42. I do not know why everyone keeps on telling me to always lay on my back. That's just so boring. Nothing beats laying in your bed, burying your face in the dirty red blanket of yours and staying like that. It's the right amount of getting suffocated. I love this child already. And like, this is something like, this is an inspiration, a segue from my ugly week. Like, I was just like sulking, and I had put my face in the red blanket that I am like wrapped myself into like a burrito even right now. And I was slightly suffocating, and I was breathing free at the same time. Like, a lot of this story is actually inspired from my state of mind. So please, yay! And so fun. Burying your face in the dirty red blanket. It is just the right amount of getting suffocated and breathing free when you get up. I was talking with the grinder almost the whole day today. My father was punishing me with cleaning duties of the grinder because I did not... Grinder. Oh my God, grinder. Sorry. Like, if you didn't get it, you don't have to. Because I didn't step out of the house on Sunday. I mean, what a father. Why do you want to like suffocate the child for not stepping out of the house on Friday? Like, let the child live. I was on my tummy again, my hands stuck under my hips. Feeling warm, my legs were arched up. Just how I like them. This is so wrong. I remember I had a picture in which my legs were arched up, and a lot of people were like, do you bend your legs always like that? Would you bend your legs like that for me? And I was like, yeah, honey, back off. Where am I? I lost. Yeah, my legs arched up just how I liked them, and my face in my red blanket. I was having the time of my life. And I was imagining the ways things can kill me as I stay like this. A metal rod can suddenly come out of from under my creaking bed and go straight through my heart. Maybe a circular blade comes out to cut me in a perfect symmetry. I'm enjoying these beautiful sights. I feel so warm, so beautiful. I knew it was about time someone would come to soil my utopia. This happens all the fucking time. Whenever I'm like doing something and I'm having the time of my life, as I like to quote it, call it, there's always somebody who decides to call me up, or my parents decide to do something, or my dog wants to suddenly get my attention or something. And I'm like, why? Let me have the time of my life, please. I'm just thinking about ways I can be killed while sitting on my bed, and like magical ways. Why can't you just let me do that? Huh, people, get a life. Continuing with the story. I heard my dad's heavy, sloppy footsteps coming towards me. The door opened wide as per the rule. He came in and rushed his hand on my head.
Koi, what are you doing?
He said. I kept my face inside the warmth as I told him I was just breathing. Will, you gotta do more than just that if you wanna survive in this world, boy. Where is the grinder cleaning at? You know you cannot run from everything, no. You can hear me, huh, Koi? He said this in his usual sweet voice. Imagine that I said that in sweet voice. He said this in his usual sweet voice. I do not know what is it with my parents. They cannot help but talk to everyone with such niceness. Even when they are trying to make a point, they both spoke as if they are talking to the police after stealing a flamingo off somebody's lawn. You know, this is one major problem with everybody in my house, that all of us speak so politely with the other person that it is basically impossible to get mad, no matter how offensive the other person is. For example, this other day I was dressing up and my mother walked into my room and she did not approve of me walking out of my house in like a boyfriend sweater and like baggy pants and stuff. And she just came and she's like, disgusting. And she walks out. Like, she did not say disgusting like this. She said disgusting very politely. And I cannot be mad at her. And I cannot also disregard her because she was polite about it. So guess what I did? I dressed up. Because I'm a good child and I did not steal a flamingo statue off somebody's lawn. Continuing with the story, I used my arms to turn myself around so I could face the wall beside me and not my father. I opened my eyes and told him that I was getting right to it. He let out an audible sigh and called my mother as they had to go out to buy the groceries. Oh, how pleasant. My cat just decided to grace us with his presence and he's gonna be meowing, I hope. And like, you guys can finally listen to him speak because my voice is so amazing. Now he's drinking water. And now he's not drinking water, he's sniffing random things. Now he's looking at me. He just meowed, if that's a word. Anyway, continuing with that beautiful, amazing story. So the parents had to go buy out groceries. I do not know why they even go to buy things. Mom makes the same goddamn thing every day. I seriously, moms make the same thing every day. And I'm not complaining, but I am. And, yeah. I do not know why, but even when it was bright out, my whole house was tainted a yellow and red. There was just too much wood all over the house. The walls, the floors, the roof. Everything was one kind of wood, all too superficial. You know, the worst thing about wood is it creaks, you walk on it, it makes those loud noises. Like, why can't you just quiet yourself down? Wood, like, what's wrong with your wood? Stop getting morning woods all the time. That did not make any sense at all. The carpets on the floor, on the rooms in which they were just so tasteless. I mean, why we can't have a normal home, like a beige and cyan house. Like me in my real life, my room's like blue, but the rest of my house is like beige. And this combination sucks, like big time. I absolutely hate the color of my room. Getting back to the story. So his house is like yellow and red and he does not really like his house. Perfectly fine, child, I understand you. By the time I got out of the house to walk towards the shed, my parents were simply rushing away. It's good. I wouldn't have to look at them. That's just dearie. I removed my shoes and put my feet in my brother's huge boots. You know, talking about huge boots, my shoe size is like 5.5. That is like a 38 number. And it's usually not available in the men's, this thing. I don't know, like shoe sizes. So I end up buying my shoe from the children's. Excuse me. Oh my God. Wait. Digestion issues. I'm not going to edit this because you guys, or maybe I won't, I have no idea. Where was I? Yeah, so my small fucking feet. I have very small feet and I'm not able to find like my size usual and like most stores. So it's like sad. So I buy my shoes from kids section. Something that you guys had to know. So I placed my shoes to put my feet in my brother's huge boots. I dragged these boots. They kept on hitting the ground needlessly. And my cat is licking his balls in front of me. No, my cat licking my balls is like the actual thing. It's not a part of the story. I dislike it when he like just sits in front of me. His like leg is arched up and he's like licking his balls and looking at me after every lick. Like, you wanna come and have like a taste? And like, no, thank you. So I dragged these boots. They kept on hitting the ground needlessly. It was stupid of them to do that. First, I opened up the freezer. I kept the head and the paws of my mother's cat there. I had been feeding it to the grinder for about a week now. It seems like today would be the last meal for it. I picked it up and stumbled towards the grinder. Hey there, Koi. It's been a hot day, no? Yeah, it is. I have some chill pussy. This is good. I mean, not the killed, like the cat who's like killed and shit, but like, I like the child. He's like, yeah, it is. I have some chilled pussy for you though. I said, as I was climbing the ladder to get to the top of it. And we were both giggling now. I lost my grip on the bucket from the edge and it scraped my finger. Oh, it hurt. The blood dripped down along with the cold pussy. Why did I even write this thing? A cold kitten. Child, what's wrong with you? As the drop fell into the funnel and slithered into the feeder, it let out a groan. It mumbled something about how good it was. I mean, that's what exactly they said when I got them home to show them my pussy. It was so good for them. Oh my God, I hope my parents don't listen to this. Fuck. Yeah. More. I want more of that. Just that. Not this rancid old creature, said the grinder. I am such an asshole, I swear. I mockingly remarked that it was just me. There was no way it can feed on me. I was its best friend, no? Oh yes, yes you are. That's why I am asking you to hurry. Look, there's the little thing your father uses on those fat pigs. They squeal for a bit, but then they quiet down, no? That's just what you should do. Go on, hurry up, Koi. Get the blade and come sit inside me, the grinder said. Okay, like the grinder is like a total toxic husband material person. I was really not sure about this, but I saw this little moth. It was accompanied by several others, but there was this one which was gliding directly towards me. It was green. It was beautiful. Just looking at it gave me warmth. Huh, I like this boy is like a reptilian. Wherever there's warmth, he just like goes and curls up in there. It also reminded me of the thrill I felt when those beautiful things penetrated me in the blankets. There are so many puns in this story. Why am I doing this to myself? I was supposed to be sad when I was writing this. Or single. I'm still single. Yeah. As I was climbing down the ladder, the Luna glided to sit on my shoulder. We both knew that it would be fine. For it doesn't have a mouth and I would not need one anymore. Did you know that Luna moths actually do not have a mouth? Once they like evolve from a caterpillar, their entire life's goal is to find a mate, have sex, procreate and die. They don't even have to eat. So yeah. for it doesn't have a mouth and for I wouldn't need one anymore. I grabbed the blade grinder asked me to. It felt heavier than I remembered. I doubted my capabilities. Will I be even able to do this justice? I mean, yes, child, do not kill yourself. Killing yourself is not doing justice to anybody. Both the moth and the grinder shouted at me, do it. That's what they said. And I knew now I had to. Otherwise, it would reflect badly on my character. I just glitched so bad. I climbed up the ladder, stepped into the funnel. I placed the blade. The list of audio devices connected to your operating system has been changed. Do you want to open audio hardware preferences? I have no idea. Was this even recording? What the fuck? Wait, no. Stop. Okay, so there was some kind of software glitch or something happening in my laptop. My laptop's idiot. And my cat is still licking his balls. Yeah, so I was glitching on how, like, it would reflect badly on my character if I did not do, like, the killing stuff. So, I climbed up the ladder, stepped into the funnel, and I placed the blade on my leg and started to press down. The grinder and the moth were giggling and raving in glee. I felt nothing but pleasure that I was able to be of such good service to them. You know, the next part I've like really cut down real short, because the last time when I was doing the story and it was in first person and that guy Koi was like the protagonist was going around raping women, it made me very uncomfortable. And I just realized like killing myself and feeding myself to a machine is something which I'm absolutely comfortable with. So the character Koi placed the blade on his leg and started to press down, trying to cut his leg. And as he cut his leg, he did not feel the pain, because that's how dedicated he was to making the moth and the machine happy. So he cut his left arm too. He cut a little bit of his chest. He cut a little bit of his butt. And he was able to listen to them glee, be happy for the service that he was giving. He thought of this as his head hit the metal and it started to slide into the feeding hole. I could see the metal stomping. I wanted to scream for someone to save me, but I had no throat that could come and scream for me. That's the ending. Koi killed himself to feed himself to a machine because the machine asked for it, and Koi is a person who cannot say no because I'm such a nice guy. Yeah, just people do not realize that. Yeah, so that's the story. And as I told you before in the beginning of the podcast, the story is inspired from Robert Picton. And I have no idea why I'm saying this in such wonderful glee and fun. Because this serial killer is from the Land of Angels and Harmless Birds, Canada. He's called Robert Williams, or Willie as he preferred, Picton. He was born in 1949, a beautiful year. He was raised on this family-operated pig farm in British Columbia. He had like a normal hetero parent. I don't know, a male and a female as their parents. What the fuck am I even saying at this point? His parents basically owned this like huge, like in capitals, huge farm, which was operational for a very long time. But when Picton and his siblings grew up, they sold their property to urban development and like reduced the farm size to, I believe, 14 acres or like 6.5 hectares. They were idiots. They just sold everything off. Then in like 1996, the Picton brothers, Robert Picton, the main guy, and his brother whose name I do not remember, I should have probably written it but who cares? They started their newest venture called Piggy's Palace Good Times Society. It was a federally registered charity with an alleged mandate to raise funds and services organized through special events such as dances and shows. I mean, it did not do any of those things. Like the neighbors, a lot of time they complained of rowdiness, drug use, drunkenness, noise, basically the entire podcast. This podcast was an extent, is like a condensed form of what Robert used to do with his like Good Times Society. The parties though he used to throw was attended by as many as 1700 people. And you know, whenever now in this like time I imagine some place which has like 1700 people or like a lot of people, I'm like, no, were they wearing like face masks at least? And then I'm like, no, this is from the time where everything was normal. And like, even when I wear like when I watch Netflix documentaries, such as like anything, whenever I'm watching Netflix and there's a crowd, I'm like, why aren't they wearing masks? What the fuck? They'll get the virus. And then like, oh no, they don't have to wear the mask. Basically, I'm trying to stall this thing before I get to the main part, because the main part is just like really bad and sad. So he used, Robert Picton used to hold like amazing parties, which included sex trade workers, bikers from like the downtown East Side. The society like also lost its non-profit status in January 2000. Not because the police investigated them, because they were not able to provide mandatory financial statements, because capitalism. Another fun thing about downtown East Side was that Robert Picton was a frequent person who used to go there because of a rendering plant that there was. Basically, a rendering plant, for the ones who you do not know, is kind of a waste disposable thing for butchers and butcheries, like where the innards and such are like disposed. It converts everything to like oils, fats and fertilizers. And in my story, I did not really know how to get a rendering plant in like a farm, because it's usually a separate thing, like a waste disposal kind of a thing. So I had a grinder which basically grinds the meat, and a rendering plant is something slightly different, rather different, but that's where it was inspired from the story. And Picton was, as I said, like used to frequent there a lot, and he even used to cruise the 10 block strip called the Low Truck and offer women money and drugs and take them back to his farm like people do. Now, Robert, he was an ass, and the police like knew of it. There were a few noise complaints against him, but a lot of times in like his Piggy Palace Good Time Societies, I don't know, parties, the police people allegedly were also a part of these raves and stuff. So nobody really considered it as much of a problem. But it was like, for the very first time, it was in 22nd March, that a woman Picton had bought to his farm fought back. She like tried to hitchhike and she had received like some serious stab wounds. She waved down a car whose occupants called an ambulance. And Picton and the woman both were involved in some kind of fight, and both had like stab wounds because she was a badass. They were kept in the same hospital. Then like the woman, she was handcuffed, but they found the keys to her handcuff in Picton's pocket. So that was like a fun thing. Picton was even arrested and charged with attempted murder and assault with weapon and forcible confinement. But the charges were stayed and eventually dropped because the woman, whose name is not disclosed and I was not able to find for good reason, was not considered a competent witness because of her drug addiction. Picton later said that she was just a hitchhiker who attacked him. Then 2 years after this, a woman called Lynn Island Skin. Like, she'll come later in the story to hopefully I remember to talk about her. She said that she saw a woman's body hanging in Picton's slaughterhouse. When the police actually went to question Lynn, she denied the story. It was like in late March that she said that, yes, she saw the body, like she retracted to her story. I mean, she also later said that when she confronted Picton's brother, he became violent and like pushed her to the walls and stuff. But like, that's something else. It will come later in the chronology. And it was also not really taken seriously because when she informed the Vancouver police, she was a single mother who had a drug addiction, who relied on Picton for her drugs and money and stuff. So they were like, okay, this woman is not really important as such. So did not really do anything about Picton again. Then finally, again, in 1999, this guy called Bill Hiscox, who's the absolute hero for this story, remember him. He contacted the police for the second time now that somebody who worked for Picton, he was somebody who worked for Picton, and one of Picton's close friend, Lisa Yields, told him that she found like identification papers, purses and clothing of women on the pig farm. Hiscock believed that they were property of some missing women. And when the police questioned Lisa Yields, the friend who asked, she basically denied to talk with the police. And yeah, and but the police was still not able to like gather enough information, enough data, enough proper evidence to actually launch like a search warrant thingy against Picton. Yeah, now his name is Christmas. I'm going to call him Christmas. They could not really, like, Mr. Christmas was not arrested. Like, his premises was not searched because of this. All was, like, basically his evidence. And they required an eyewitness's report for criminal activity or existence or some physical evidence before they can issue a search warrant. Before moving forward to the next part, there's something you guys gotta listen to. Just, I'm gonna drink water and then get back to it. God, my back hurts. I want you guys to start sending me money somehow so that I can buy a new chair, some podcasting equipment and stuff. Anyway, back to what I had to say. Chantal Wynn, Jelena Sovin, Christine Foley, Tina Lewis Parr, Angela Jospury, Patricia Johnson, Deborah Jones, Laura Ma, Leigh Miner, Georgina Papin, Brenda Wolfe, Frances Young, Sherry Lynn Smith, Jenny Furminger, Mona Wilson, Omi O'Brien, Maureen Frey, Marcella Chryson, Julie Young, Andrea Brohibin, Jacqueline McDonald, Karen Smith, Helen Hallmark, Kathleen Watley, Patricia Gay Perkins, Jacqueline Murdoch, Linda Jean Coombs, Sherry Lynn Rail, Angela Jardin, Mona Wilson, Elaine Ellenbach, Ingrid Sowett, Michelle Gurney, Teresa Williams, Rose Ann Johnson, Tiffany Drew, Maria Laliberte, Ruby Huddy, Linda Jose Tartrell, Carol Davis, Angela Arsenilot, Bonnie Whelan, Sherry Eyring, Cindy Felix, Pauline Johnson, Tracy Carthart, Donna Kiss, Kimberly Gallup, Connie Christian, Serena Obotswe, Dawn Gray, Diane Rock, Roxane Tareha, she was 15, Roxane, Melissa Nicholson, and Rose Peters. This is a poster that I found, and the heading of this poster was, "Did he kill all these women?" You know what's coming ahead. So most of these women, they were marginalized, they were orphaned. or they were addicts, or they were single mothers, or usually non-white, or sex workers. They were either each of these things, all of them, perhaps even more. And they were disappeared over a period of, I believe, 15 years. So those names, remember those names. Listen to them again. Now, it was like finally in 2001 that the Vancouver police and the RCMP, which I should have probably known what is the full form of, but I do not, formed a project Even Hand. A joint task force to investigate the missing women from downtown Eastside. Like, it took them almost a decade to get to this, and it was in early February 2002 that a guy named Scott Chubb, who was formerly employed at Picton's family, by the Picton family as the truck driver, informed that he had personally seen illegal guns in Picton's trailer home, and especially the laundry room. So like now the police had like credible witness thingy, whatever, to do like a search, and they decided to do a search on 5th of February 2001. When they entered the farm, it was like a huge mess. It was like messier than my own room, like, and they went out to see the laundry and stuff because that's where the lead was talking about, and they found the illegal firearms in question, and they were like, whoop, whoop, as like the warrant stood, and they could like look even more, snoop around. And like the gun that they found was actually very creative of sorts. It was odd as well because it was first wrapped in plastic. When they removed the plastic covering as if it was a gift, they found that it was a revolver which had a curved dildo attached to the barrel. It was loaded with, I guess, 5 shots, and one of those shots was empty. When they went out of the laundry room and went to Picton's room, they found pieces of jewelry which they were sure did not belong to Picton. A purse, a flare gun which was adapted to take 22mm mega something, those 22 something unit shells, a few dildos, and near his nightstand, a box of kitchen knives. I mean, one always, like, this was, I do not think like dildos and kitchen knives are something which should be like frowned upon. Everybody has like kitchen knives and dildos hanging around in their rooms. But the thing which like kind of baffled them was that they found a bag which had like running joggers and like some other things, and there was a prescribed asthma inhaler for a woman called Selena Abotswe. Despite all the things that they found, and I've written this in capitals, like uppercase, that like in my notes, that it was, and still he was laid out of jail just a day after this, though he was not allowed to return to his farm despite the bail, but he was let out of jail. Okay, so they got another warrant, which was more because like the previous stood and they found like these new questionable things, so they got a new one which was a little more expansive, as in like when it comes to warrants, you cannot like snoop everywhere. You need to look at the things and the places which are specifically signified in the warrant. So they went back, and this time they found like more clothing, more jewelry, more papers of women. In the motorhome at the Picton farm, they found blood like literally everywhere. Everything was drenched and soaking in blood, and you can find pictures of this. Let me find some links and I'll link it as well. So, later, using DNA, they were able to identify that all this blood was from one single woman, Mona Wilson. When Robert Picton was taken into custody, he was asked to shower to like clean himself, but he actually didn't. And he literally smelled like a sewer, people say. And as I like to call it, he smelled like death. On the first day, he was like quiet. And on the second day, they had like an 11-hour interrogation with him, where throughout the 11 hours, he was speaking, but he was speaking absolute bullcrap. Like, it did not make any sense whatsoever. And then when he went back to his cell, he had a cellmate there where he was like really chatty with him. And this pillock of a cellmate was trying to show up to Picton, recommending him that the cellmate used to dispose of bodies was throwing them in the ocean, because ocean dissolves everything. And Picton took the bait, and he was offended that since Picton knew the best way to get rid of bodies, he told this guy everything about his maybe he had both daddy and mommy issues, I have no idea, and how he killed them, disposed of their bodies. And he even said that his only regret was that he killed only 49 women, and that the list of missing women, half of them are his victims, that just if he would have killed one more, it would have been the big 5-0, fucking half of the century, man, as he said in his own voice. And his cellmate also, who was also happened to be an undercover police officer, was later taken out of the cell, and Picton started to masturbate, thinking of all his exploits. Maybe he knew that he was screwed, and like he saw the camera that everything was recorded and he's fucking gonna die, but he started to masturbate looking at the camera. It's like scrubbed in, jacked off. The link to this video in which he confesses to everything is there. I'll also link it up in this. He talked about how he killed them. He said that he filled up syringes with antifreeze and he used to inject the women with it, and they used to die in under 10 minutes. But he got sloppy in his in the end. And you know, like his confession, I remember the timestamp for that was 11:11, like 23 hours, 11 minutes, so 11:11 p.m. And I was like, bitch, the angels hate you, you fucking stupid idiot. It was at 11:11 that you started speaking bullshit and you're screwed, you motherfucker. Yeah, oh, my cat's pooping now. Yeah. And anyway, so he, in this video, he is also very proud that he got more victims than the guys in state. And he was like, their number is just 42, I could like 49 and shit, bloody asshole. Most people assumed that he used to like kill the women and feed them to his pigs, which is kind of true, but the parts that the pigs did not end up eating, he used to take those things to the rendering plant in the downtown east side. Because he was like a proper customer that he used to deliver like innards of pigs every week or so, he was allowed to like drop in the barrels of blood and meat and shit every, like, unsupervised. Like later in the trial and such, the workers did say that the barrel of pig guts from him was a little weird because it had like burnt meat and weird chunks of meat, which they did not understand, but nobody really questioned it. And it was unsupervised, so it was the best possible way for anybody to drop off any kind of like dead bodies and stuff, because I mean, now after all this, it has become a lot more strict, but at that time it was quite easy. While he confessed to all this, DNA was coming, DNA from farm was coming every day. There was like more and more evidence each and every time. And one thing that they found in the freezer of Picton's farm was in like two separate 5-gallon buckets. They found something frozen, something real pretty. It was two human heads which were cut in half vertically. And inside each of those skulls were two hands. And beneath those two hands were feet of these women. So they were like obviously effed out after this, but when it was sent to the forensic person linked this to another murder which happened in 1995 of a John Jane Doe or an unidentified woman. And there was, since no leads were created as there was not even a DNA hit on her, the case went cold. But that woman was disposed of in the exact same manner, as like her head was cut vertically in half using a saw, like a handheld saw, feet and hands stuffed inside of it in a bucket 40 minutes away from Picton's farm. It matched, and like, and even a rib fragment was found in Picton's farm which matched with that woman, so he was also like her murder. Like during the investigation on the farm, the investigators, they dug up to 30 feet under the ground, and they kept on identifying victims either through the remains of their jaws, other pieces of their bodies. Like they couldn't find proper fragments of women buried. It was bits and pieces. All right. He even told one of his friends that how, like, in like a different scenario, he told one of his friends how he used to kill women, that he used to bring the sex worker and random noises in my background, and he used to like put, guide them to the bed, and he like took out this some stuff from under his bed which included handcuffs, a belt, a wire, and said that he used to tie them up using the handcuffs, cuffs, stroke their hair and strangle them using either the wire or the belt, and tell them that all will be okay. Moreover, like on the farm, mostly skulls and hands were found because he said that it was safer to dispose them in the farm because they stood out as like distinctly humans, because, you know, like the arm bone, maybe the ribcage and stuff, they resemble animals. So it could be disposed of at the rendering plant, but yeah. And like, then they, when they were as usual going through everything in the freezer, they also found like 2 bags full of ground meat. And like after a lot of months of having that, they just ended up like, I don't know, doing the investigation on that too. And in that they found ground up human remains of 2 women. Igna Hall and Sydney Felix, and those women like died about 4 years back, and they thought that maybe, and since it was mixed with ground meat of the pigs, it was thought that there's a very high chance that the people to whom Picton used to sell his meat also included human flesh which he used to feed them. Yeah, and it like took 5 years for from like Picton's arrest for the first time and for his trial to start because of the ginormous investigation. Like it was not only the largest crime scene in Canadian history, it was like 14 acres. There were over 200,000 DNA samples collected, 600,000 evidence samples. 500 investigators were employed, and it took just 18 months for them to like gather everything and put it in order. Picton was tried of first degree murder, for which he pled not guilty, but the jury found him guilty for second degree murder because they thought for this amount of murders there must be some other accomplice, and so it was reduced to a second degree murder by the jury in 9 days, I think. Though he was tried for the murder of only 6 women and like other for the rest 20 or 21 charges of murders, the Crown decided to put a stay on them. And because he was already given a sentence, life sentence with no possibility of parole for 25 years, which kind of sucks. Like, what about the victims? And like, he confessed to killing 49 women. He was alleged for 27 women, but he was given punishment for only 6 women. And I was like, no, I mean, I don't know. It just sucks. I don't know. Kill the asshole. Yeah, so he'll be allowed to roam, like apply for full parole on February of 2027. Most people believe that he'll never get out. And yeah, and like about yeah, I like this thing, I've not written it down, but I remember it off the top of my head, that a lot of police officers did say that even if he killed like 49 women, if he actually disposed them of using pigs, fed them to normal human beings through his park and his like butchers and stuff. So a lot of DNA, a lot of things will never be even found out. Like this, there would be no way for them to prove it with proper evidence. Anyway, the good thing is that the farm was actually destroyed during the investigation. They basically tore every fucking thing down. Like they tore everything, like trying to find evidence and stuff. And like the good thing in this thing, which I actually loved, was that when they were tearing down the last building, and if you can hear the background noises, it's my cat eating. And it was him purring, in case you heard that too. So when they were tearing down the last building, the police invited the families of all victims to see as they destroyed it and it went down. Now a strip mall stands on the property and like it's been redeveloped and such. Like there, I just want to know if it's haunted. I know. Oh, also you remember the gun with the dildo on it, right? So it had DNA from Robert and one of the victims. So there's a very high chance that he, like, the dildo entered the woman and she was shot like that. And also, like, that's the end of the story. And, like, Vancouver police was actually barred and, like, criticized a lot globally, kind of, for being so shitty as they ignored so many women disappearing for this long time. Like, a total of 64 women disappeared and 38 of them are still unaccounted for. And 27 of them were killed by Robert. And Robert said that he killed 49. So it's just like a lot of math. So like I don't know how many women, it might as well be 100, including the Jane Does, John Does and all such, who went missing during a time and they did not care, but just because they were not, I don't know, white or rich. It's wrong. Yes, and finally, the last fun fact about this is that Robert Picton actually wrote a biography in 2016. In this, he claimed that he was totally innocent, that he was just a scapegoat fallout person for the police. He smuggled his biography out from the prison using a convict who was allowed to go out. He was a child molester who sent this biography of Picton to his friend Michael Childress of California, who typed it up and made himself the author of it. He whined that the book costed him like $2,500 to publish and an year to write, and it was released, like, listen, it was released as Picton, in his own words, by Michael Childress. Obviously, Picton is telling his own autobiography, which was written by a completely different man. So, like, Michael, as like all people, he even posted on his Facebook about the book because, yay, I published a book. Look, I got it from a child molester and it was originally written by a rotten dildo of a fucking thunderstorm, sharp-elbowed idiot. But who cares? I wrote a book. Read it. And like the book was very badly written. I believe it had 114 pages. It was sold on Amazon and Books in Barrels and something. The book was littered with random pages from Bibles and verses because Jesus fucking saves us all, because child molesters, rapists, serial killers, you believe in God, you get eternal life to fucking rape women. Sorry. So yeah, okay. That's about it for this one. That's the end of it. Yeah. Now to the end credits, I'd like to remind you that I have a validation episode coming up in March, 29th of March, or 28th of March. It was 29th of March, I believe. And it will be basically your stories in your words, if you want it to be in your words or whatever, which are going to be included there. It's going to be an episode for you, by you, to you, everything for you, because you're the most amazing people, because you listen to me and I'm the most amazing person myself. And yeah, leave reviews, comments, reach out to me. I love you all. I love hearing from you guys. Some of you have reached out to me. I'm going to whine about it later, not today. My Instagram and my Twitter is KoiOnAir. My YouTube is also KoiOnAir. If you want to subscribe there, it would be fun. What else? Yeah, the music is by Lil Adi. He is an amazing person. As you guys already know, I just love the music and I love how talented he is. The podcast is co-produced with Nifix. You can reach out to them on the website madebynifix.com, and they're amazing people. They give amazing services. My own email address is koi@madebynifix.com. Reach out to me. It would be fun times. And if you know some kind of, like, I don't know, like a true crime or something which you are rather inspired by and you want me to cover it, or something, anything random, just reach out to me. I need company. I need conversations. Just talk to me, please. Oh my God. Bye.